Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Thank you very much for listening. And if you enjoy the show today, do us a favor. Go to iTunes and subscribe. If you really enjoy the show, leave us a 5-star review. That really helps us out to spread the message. If you don't have an Apple device and you want to still get the show, you can get us on the Android app called Stitcher, stitcher.com. You can go and subscribe to the Freedom Report. So that way, every time you get a new podcast, you'll get it every time we upload one, you'll get a new podcast. And thanks again for listening. The show. Today's topic is going to be the Rand Paul filibuster. But wait, I'm not alone in this room. I have a special guest today. Well, I guess she's special today, but tomorrow she's just going to be the guest because she's going to be my new co-host on the show this summer. Her name is Laura Myers. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
All right. Well, this is kind of an exciting day because today's Laura's first day. Laura is my new intern and production assistant over at the Libertarian Republic. She's a hardcore BAMF libertarian. She just flew in from Kansas the other day, and she's going to be spending the summer here at the Libertarian Republic, so we'll get a female's perspective on the news here on the Freedom Report podcast. Laura, I'm really excited that you're here. How do you feel about it?
Thank you. Yeah, I had to leave Toto at home, but I'm excited to be here. DC is new and exciting, but this should be a good adventure for the summer.
You've only been to DC once, right?
I've been to DC once. I came for CPAC this year, and I was here for a week.
She's joined us to do battle against the forces of evil.
Yes.
So you guys are going to have to check her out. She's going to be writing a lot more. And today you've got some interesting story ideas that you're going to be talking about. Today's show, we're going to be talking about Rand Paul's filibuster. But when you were doing some research on the filibuster, you found that there were some funny stories about how these guys actually go pee on the Senate floor, right?
So there were things from catheters to astronaut bags.
Okay, don't tell anymore. Okay, so we don't want to give it away too much, but she's going to be writing five ways that you can go pee on the Senate floor.
Yeah, it's worth the read. It's very funny.
Yeah, Laura's got a great sense of humor, so that's a perfect addition for the Libertarian Republic because we like to entertain and inform here at TLR. We're talking about a very serious subject today. We're talking about the surveillance state. We're talking about the growth of government, and specifically we're discussing the Fourth Amendment. This is our right to be secure in our persons, places, papers, and effects from unreasonable searches and seizures. And I have a neocon buddy that I like to debate, and he's always like, don't forget it says unreasonable searches and seizures, right? How do you define unreasonable? That's really the issue here. I mean, is it reasonable for them? I think it's reasonable for them to go get a judge, to go ask a judge if they want to wiretap my phone, don't you?
I think that seems 100% reasonable to me. I also have a neocon buddy who I have to go head-to-head with, and reasonable seems to be a very relative word in his mind.
You read to me one of your you actually read to me your neocon buddy's
Facebook status.
His Facebook status, which is this anti-Rand Paul rant.
He even made fun of his curly hair, which I was not cool with, but yeah, he and ended the status with hashtag stop the libs, which doesn't make any sense to me because he's
The libs or libertarians or the liberals?
I'm assuming liberals.
I don't mind. You can call me liberal. Classical liberal, bitch.
I don't know if he wants, you know, I thought he was a conservative. He wanted smaller government, but
conservatives? When was the last time a conservative went for small government?
You know, too much hope in people.
All right, so let's get into the nitty-gritty here. I'm reading from the Associated Press. The fate of the government's bulk collection of Americans' phone records is unclear following an FBI warning, House Senate disagreements, and more than 10 hours of criticisms by a GOP presidential candidate. Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky, the most libertarian-leaning of the major Republican presidential contenders, dominated the Senate floor from 1:18 to 11:49 p.m. Wednesday to decry the National Security Agency's mass collection of phone data without warrants. In doing so, he highlighted deep divisions within Congress and among his party's presidential hopefuls over the program whose existence was exposed by former contractor Edward Snowden, now living in Russia. Paul wasn't coy about the political overtones. His campaign issued a fundraising appeal while he slowly paced and steadily talked in a mostly empty Senate chamber. It also told reporters that several conservative House Republicans were available for interviews after they sat a while in support of Paul in the Senate, and I believe that was Thomas Massie and Justin Amash, our buddies. It marked the second time in 2 years that Paul has used a marathon Senate speech to draw attention to a pet issue and to himself, as C-SPAN cameras provided unbroken footage for Twitter and other social media. In March of 2013, 2013, he spent 13 hours filibustering John Brennan's nomination to head the CIA to underscore Paul's opposition to drone policies. Wednesday's performance wasn't an official filibuster, although you and I can debate that maybe, but the AP says it's not official because the bill before the Senate dealt with trade, not with surveillance. But by not sitting or yielding the floor, Paul kept senators from talking about other topics. Paul opposes renewal of key sections of the Patriot Act, which the government cites to authorize a massive examination of those who call on American phones. The government does not collect the content of the calls. Those sections are set to expire June 1st. The Republican-controlled House voted overwhelmingly to end bulk collection of phone data, but to allow surveillance on a case-by-case basis if a special court approves. And President Barack Obama actually supports this change. So if the Senate can pass this bill, then we could actually end the warrantless wiretapping. Paul says that it doesn't go far enough. Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, that's Rand Paul's buddy, is among those Republicans who want to keep the full program going. But McConnell says the Senate will vote on the House bill and possibly other versions before beginning a Memorial Day recess. And you know that Mitch McConnell is going to be trying to keep that stuff in the bill. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to parse those two pieces of legislation. We'll see how it comes out. Siding with McConnell and our GOP senators and presidential hopefuls, Marco Rubio, boo, and Lindsey Graham, double boo. Senator Ted Cruz and other candidates have taken positions somewhere between McConnell and Paul. We're watching you, Ted Cruz. A friendly presidential debate almost seemed possible late Wednesday when Rubio sat in the presiding officer's chair and Cruz occupied a desk near the still-talking Paul. I can just see them, like, watching, like, yeah, you better screw up, Rand. We're gonna watch you screw up. You know what I mean? I could see Marco Rubio just, like, trying to trip Rand as he, like, goes down the Senate floor, you know?
Or setting up, like, a bunch of drinking glasses for him to, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's, like, sitting there, like, drinking water and, like, watching. Pulling a Rubio, as he does. FBI Director James Comey said, it's important that surveillance authority not expire altogether. He said the FBI must be allowed to ask a special judge for an order on a case-by-case basis for particular documents or records. And he said his agency needs authority to, quote, get a roving wiretap order when we, quote, encounter a spy or terrorist who is dropping phones. So what he's talking about there with dropping phones is like burner phones, for example. So he needs to be able to get a roving wiretap on an individual so that, you know, instead of being tied to the phone number it's mm-hmm. tied to the person, really. Wearing a dark suit, tie, and running shoes, Paul began his marathon talk by announcing, "There comes a time in the history of nations when fear and complacency allow power to accumulate and liberty and privacy to suffer." He remained on message hours later, saying bulk data was gathered, quote, under the inherent authority of the president. This should scare us. I don't like the president having this kind of executive authority. Several senators, most of them Democrats, gave Paul's voice occasional breaks by speaking several minutes to ostensibly ask him questions. Paul kept control by yielding for questions without, quote, yielding the floor. Democratic Senators John Tester of Montana, Ron Wyden of Oregon, and Ron's a great guy, Chris Coons of Delaware, and Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Maria Cantwell of Washington, and Richard Blumenthal expressed sympathy with Paul's complaints about extensive phone snooping, but they didn't necessarily embrace his remedies. Yeah, they want to look cool for the Democratic base.
We're kind of okay with this.
We've agreed with it, but we don't want to make the Republican look cool, you know what I mean? Paul spread binders and papers over four desks as he talked, and an aide occasionally handed him notes. He quoted the writers Montesquieu, George Orwell, Thomas Paine, and Milton Friedman. Oh, God, we love you, Rand.
So much fangirl.
he discreetly sipped water and ate small candies now and then, which isn't unusual in the Senate chamber, but he did not sit down. Interesting. Well, good, because we stand with you, Rand. We stand with Rand. So, you know, this kind of stuff, it's exciting to me. You know, obviously, it's a little bit more of a show in a sense, but a show for a reason. You know, even if he can't stop the surveillance powers, even if the Senate majority Republicans in the Senate are not going to agree with Rand on this, and certainly he has Senate rivals that are trying to get the presidency, so they may try and just mm-hmm. hamstring him. That's the politics that we have to deal with.
Yeah.
But to me, it seems like it's important for to have a senator to speak what people like you and I believe. I mean, like, how many times in history have we had someone who actually has power who says what we believe? Are you excited by this, Laura?
I think I'm excited about it. I think it's sort of sad that we only have one person, I mean, in the history.
One
like,
senator.
That's yeah. standing up for our voices. But no, I'm very excited. And this is how he put, this is how I see himself putting himself on the map, like with his original filibuster. Of course, he's Ron's son, but I mean, when he had his 13-hour filibuster, I mean, everybody, like, paid attention. They were like, who is this guy, you know? Who's Rand? And so the fact that he's continuing to do it, you know, is impressive, and I'm excited that he's actually dedicated. It's nice to, it's refreshing to see that from somebody.
Yeah, and you know what's funny was I was reading some of the liberal blogs yesterday when they were talking about it. I was reading, I like to read what the liberals have to say about it, and they were kind of like, you know, sniffing like, oh, it's just a show. You know what I mean? They're like, well, even though these are people who are like, Patriot Act, boo, George Bush. But now that they're the guy who's championing the issue that they care about, all of a sudden it's like, well, it's not quite so
Yeah, because
cool.
he has an R next to his name.
Right.
That's,
right.
yeah.
I mean, doesn't that, don't you think that just shows how ridiculous the binary thinking that we have in this country mm-hmm. is, Republicans and Democrats and stuff like that? I mean, you know, I was raised Republican, you know, conservative Republican, but then I got all sexy and radical and started wearing leather jackets, and, you know, drinking beer and hanging out with cool people that were like bad influences. And I'm like, oh man, I'm not a conservative, bro. But I was like, I'm not an anti-capitalist. So, I mean, I just wonder, like, do you think it's possible for us to kind of like wake up some of these liberals and get them to realize that, like, hey, it's possible to like stand up for civil liberties, but just like, you know, don't like steal my wallet, bro. You know what I mean? Like do you think, like, what do you think? I mean, you're still in college. You've got one more semester to go before you graduate. I mean, what are young people saying on campus about Rand Paul? I mean, and not just the Republicans. You must know some liberals that have talked about him, right?
Know some liberals. Yeah, I'm being taught by those liberals. a lot of it, though, among students, I think, is ignorance, actually. And I don't want to underestimate, like, my peers, but I truly think that's what it is because a lot of students I go to school with have never had a job. You know, they're there on their parents' money, and they don't really understand the concept. They think that the government, there's, like, this pot Mm-hmm. at the end of the rainbow full of gold
yeah.
and it's just the government
yeah.
you know, it's like painted on the side and then I don't think they understand until they get their first paycheck or they go out and search for a job that like, look, this is funded by you. And so I think it's just a matter of like exposing and teaching. And there are a lot of students on my campus that like Rand Paul. I mean, he has made waves. He has taken politically apathetic students and woken them up because his name is in the news. He's doing cool things. He is cool. I mean, in relations to the, you know, NSA, I don't know if you remember, but he Snapchatted a picture of the moon. And he was like, to the NSA, you know, it was a joke. And he's like, mooning the NSA. This was a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
It was
that.
A couple years ago, but it was really funny. And it got a ton of shares on Facebook. And so, I mean, he keeps doing quirky and cool things. And people are paying attention, so...
Yeah, I mean, I get excited when I see Rand Paul doing things like this, you know, not just because he's always running for president, and I think he'd, you know, be a great guy sitting in the White House, certainly much better than the one we have right now. But it's amazing that it's a Republican doing it, that it's the Republican standing up for civil liberties, and, you know, and the Democrats are kind of like, you know, oh, yeah, we kind of support you. I mean, the Democrats used to kind of be the party of civil liberties,
yeah.
You know? It used to be that, you know, that Republicans were the ones who were looking out for your wallet, and the Democrats were the ones who were going to let you smoke weed. But now it's almost as if the Democrats have become the totalitarian party, and that the only libertarians that really stand, you know, for the issues that you and I care about, economic freedom and personal liberty, that's what this website is about, economic
yeah.
freedom and personal liberty, that's our tagline, are the Republicans. You know, we've got, you know, Thomas Massey from Kentucky, we've got Justin Amash from Michigan, we've got Rand Paul, and Ted Cruz kind of sits near us every once in a while, and kind of like, you know, he's kind of like, yeah, you guys are kind of okay, but what do you think about Ted Cruz? I mean, like, he should have gotten up and stood up with Rand. He stood up for him with his drone filibuster. What do you think the deal is? Rand politics or what?
I don't know. I think maybe it's since they're both announced, he doesn't want to be too. He still wants to be competitive and not.
Not be like the B boy, the B team.
Yeah, he doesn't want to step into like VP territory, you know, to make a metaphor.
Oh, but so, he'd be a great VP for Rand.
So, yeah, I think maybe it's pride keeping him from speaking.
He's a very proud man, you know. I've met Ted Cruz on several occasions. I remember the first time I met Ted Cruz in person. I was shooting a video with him for FreedomWorks. Mm-hmm. And I had to do an interview with him. It was just me and him and the camera and, you know, asking him questions and sort of like getting him on, you know, talking about, you know, the Tea Party and all that stuff. So I did an interview with Rand. I did an interview with like a bunch of other people who were there, like Dick Armey and stuff. And then, and they all sort of like answered the questions and then stopped. But Ted Cruz was like, blah, de blah, de blah, de blah, de blah. And I don't mean to rag too much on Ted because, like, I, you know, Ted has been pretty good. I mean, I like the shutdown of the government. You know, he's not a libertarian, but he's like a real conservative. Mm-hmm. Not these fake neocon mother effers that we have to deal with on a regular basis. You know, I saw, you know, yesterday Peter King, Representative Peter King of New York. You ever heard of this guy? He's the guy who's like, he says he just wants, his only purpose to run for president, if he does run, would be just to stop Rand Paul, you know, that's a great reason. Yeah, that's just what we need in the White House, is somebody who only wants to run because they want to stop somebody from advancing civil liberties. Wouldn't that be great to have, you know, a total totalitarian?
What's even more sad than that, though, is that I know of a few neocons that would actually vote for him for that reason if he ran on that.
Absolutely. So let me read this. This is from Peter King yesterday. I've got actually just shared it on my Facebook. I wanted to start a conversation about, yeah, Peter King says, Rand Paul's rant on Senate floor versus NSA, more irrational than ever, very damaging to American security. Why does anyone listen to him? And I said, we listen, sir, because we know the difference between a public servant and a petty tyrant.
Drop the mic.
Yeah, drop the mic. I can't drop. This is really expensive. Don't drop this is an expensive mic. but, you know, that's the reality. I think that we have public servants and we have petty tyrants, but we got more petty tyrants than anything.
And he's calling Rand's filibuster irrational, but not what he's filibustering on.
Yeah, well, Peter King is the guy who would, you know, Chris Christie made a big statement the other day that we put up on the Libertarian Republic, that we have to sacrifice liberty for security. You know, that is what these people want. They like what the founders warned us against. These are the people that the founders warned us against.
It starts by piece, one small part at a time.
Chunk by chunk by chunk. And one of the things that I talk about on my show, and I'm actually giving a speech later this year in New York at Liberty Fest, is how libertarians need to learn how to fight. And I'm going to be using my experience in martial arts, my background in history, discussing the strategy of what does George Washington, Bruce Lee, Saul Alinsky, and Quintus Fabius Maximus, the ancient Roman emperor, what do they all have in common? And they all had in common this one strategy called the Fabian strategy, which it was named after Quintus Fabius. And it was basically, it was about taking territory or winning based on a strategy of attrition and fighting little battles to win, you know, and so that you win the war. And you may have to lose some smaller battles, but that you keep fighting and you keep fighting. The North Vietnamese used this during the Vietnam War, that they would just keep fighting and keep fighting so that they would take it bit by bit. There's actually a society that has existed, I think, for about 100 years called the Fabian Society. And they're also called Fabian Socialists. And their entire strategy is to push socialism into governments around the world using this strategy based on how George Washington won the American War of Independence, how Saul Alinsky, the Rules for Radicals book that you did, that he talks about that strategy, that Fabian strategy. Bruce Lee has one. It's the strategy. It's all he said, be like water. And when he talked about his fighting strategy, it was like, be like water, which means to give. You know, water conforms to the vessel that it's in. Libertarians, I think sometimes our strategy is bad, Lord, because we're trying to force everyone to go according to our philosophy and to fit into our pot.
Yeah, I think passion is dangerous, and you have to be patient.
Yeah, patience trumps passion.
I was trying to say something trumps something, but it wasn't.
It's her first show, and her face is beet red right now.
I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous.
She's gonna get used to it, and then we're gonna see the goofy side of Laura that's fun and funny. But don't you guys worry, because she's gonna be here all summer. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. If you enjoy our show today and you want to get more of us, don't forget, go to iTunes.com and do us a favor. It's Laura's first show. You know what would be great? Give us 5-star reviews. Go to iTunes and say, hey, these guys are great. Just type us a little review. It doesn't cost you any money. It doesn't take anything. Just go up there, click 5 stars, and say, hey, new guest is pretty awesome, man. I hear she's kind of cute, but you can't see her. Laura Myers is here today. Laura, thanks for coming and joining us, and I hope that you're going to have a great summer. We're going to have a blast today. She's going to write our first listicle about 5 ways to pee on the Senate floor, so don't forget to check out that listicle. Pretty soon, we've got 10 reasons that Chris Christie should never be president coming out here in about 20 minutes. So by the time you hear this show, you'll be able to go to libertarianrepublic.com and check those out. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? If you've got us on iTunes and you can get us on Stitcher 2, the Android app, don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at the Libertarian Republic.com.